Everyone in North America, and let's begin with Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I'll begin with Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 4, text. Wait a minute. Can somebody tell me? 154. Okay. All right, let me see. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kamam Sukam Prabhu Savatopyatikam Sukat Tesham Sva Svarasa Taratami Pitulyata. Translation. Do I have a simultaneous translator? Yes? Okay. All the devotees in Vaikuntha enjoy the particular happiness for which they aspired and feel it greater than all others. This creates a hierarchy of tastes, but within it, a simultaneous equality. Commentary. Whatever happiness a devotee may have felt from worshipping the Supreme Lord in the material world expands without limit when he achieves entrance into Vaikuntha. In other words, even though all devotees in Vaikuntha share the same basic spiritual nature, they feel varieties of pleasure. Different devotees relish various qualities of ecstasy in their hearing, chanting, and worshipping, and the ecstasy of one devotee may be greater than that of another. Still, each devotee in Vaikuntha is satisfied with his own devotional service. Whatever his rasa, when it develops to full maturity, he fully tastes the ecstasy natural to it. This point has already been discussed, and later it will be made even more clear. Om Gyanatimirandasya Chakshu Unminitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Bhangam Vangayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pastyacha De Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadar Har Shri Vasudigaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Last class, we spoke about the potency of Vishnu mantras. I believe we talked about the different mantras, such as those mantras which were chanted. Juha Maharaj, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We talked about the mantra that was chanted by Ramanujacharya, the mantra he received from Gosti Purna, his spiritual master, Om Namo Narayanaya. And we talked about the different destinations, or the destinations, which devotees who perform those mantras and perfect the chanting of those mantras with the proper attitude, the destinations they attain. And here, in today's verse, as indicated in the commentary, Sanat Goswami has said that these points, or this point, has already been discussed before, and it has been discussed before, not only within the text of the verses that we read, but we've also discussed it as well in our classes. But I would like to highlight just a couple of very important points to make sure everybody understands the essence of this verse. The essence is that the devotees who attain to Vaikuntha, they experience a far greater happiness than the happiness they experienced in their various methods of worship prior to attaining perfection. That is obvious, and we've discussed that already. But what may not be so clear, and is brought out a little bit here in the commentary, is that each devotee in Vaikuntha is satisfied with his own devotional service, and each devotee thinks that the service, he thinks, he's not deluded into thinking this way. He's thinking this way because the reciprocation is convincing him. The reciprocation he's getting from the Lord has thoroughly convinced him that this is the pinnacle, the highest ecstasy of devotional service. So although, and because he thinks that way, he thinks that his experience is better than the experiences others are having. Why? Because he's experiencing such bliss. And he's thinking, this is the best. This is bliss. And therefore, when he sees others who may be worshiping in a different way, with a different rasa, they're actually thinking, they're missing out this bliss. That's the nature of the experience, and that's the nature of the reciprocation they get from the Lord. And so that point is being made here, that everyone is feeling the highest bliss. So therefore, it may seem there are different hierarchies of bliss. But if everybody's experiencing the highest bliss, isn't that equality also for everyone in Vaikuntha? Nobody's thinking, you know, that, especially as we've described so many times before, and this point has to be emphasized also, what is the mood of Vaikuntha, that there's never any envy. There's never anybody who looks upon another one thinking, oh, they're in a mood of anger, they're inferior in any way. They just think, I'm experiencing the highest bliss. And they're experiencing obviously they're experiencing bliss because their only mood is to please the Lord, and the Lord is satisfying them. So there's a sense of equality in the sense that everybody has the experience of the highest bliss. Take that, look at it from an outsider's view, and especially when we hear about the different superior, and we hear about the hierarchies that exist in rasa, such as Shanta Ras, Dasya Ras, Sakya Ras in Vaikuntha. Sakya Ras, of course, we've already described as in Aishvaya Gyan in Vaikuntha, and Sakya Ras as experienced by the friends in Goloka, of course, is without Aishvaya. It's Madhurya, sweet. But nonetheless, we know that, we hear about that, but yet, as we've spoken about in a previous class, and I'm not going to really emphasize this point again, we have to be very careful in our assessment of those who are in these moods to not in any way think in a condescending way of these perfected souls. It's obviously a big mistake to think that way. And to think that way is a defect in one's consciousness. It's a defect in one's understanding of the mood of worship that he's aspiring for. We don't see that in Gopa Kumar at all. We see that Gopa Kumar is sometimes hurt. Sometimes he feels pain because of people don't have the same concept as he has. But he never, and we've never seen any indication in Gopa Kumar, he's never looked condescendingly upon the perfected souls of Vaikuntha. His mood has always been of dānya, humility, and as we also explained, one of his characteristics is his naivete, which was, he was very simple. And because he was very simple, he did not in any way look for fault. Of course, we know that was also born of his natural humility, which we've already explained before, the most essential quality for actually achieving love on the platform of the residence of Goloka Vrindavan. Without dānya, without humility, it's not possible. It's the key. It's actually the most valuable asset for entrance is this humility. And Gopa Kumar, of course, displays that humility and therefore never in any way considers those who have a different mood than his to be inferior. It's just not the same mood as he has. So these points we've talked about before, but they're also somewhat referenced in this verse today, how each devotee in Vaikuntha is satisfied with his own devotional service. Whatever his rasa, when it develops to full maturity, he fully tastes, not partially, he fully tastes the ecstasy natural to it. This point has already been discussed, and later it will be made even more clear. Okay. And one other point I forgot to mention is that everyone attained the happiness that they desired. Imagine having a spiritual desire and having that spiritual desire completely fulfilled. We already gave the example once before, and we won't go into the details because I already gave it in detail, of what happened to Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj had a desire he wanted fulfilled, and the Lord Because he approached the Lord fulfilled the desire in such a way that Dhruva was no longer interested in it. But Dhruva, his desire before was to have a kingdom better than his father's, grandfather's, great-grandfather's. He had feelings of revenge towards his stepmother, feelings of revenge towards his father, who didn't let him sit on his lap, and who didn't say anything. When his stepmother insulted him, he remained silent. These things were harbored. And one thing I didn't mention the last time we told this story is Prabhupada explained in one purport in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, when a devotee approaches the Lord, even by and achieves the darshan of the Lord, then if he approaches the Lord for the fulfillment of some desires other than pure devotional service, then he will have to lament in the same way Dhruva Maharaj lamented. Of course, Dhruva Maharaj's lamentation was completely spiritual. He became completely purified, and he achieved the fulfillment of all his spiritual desires also. Just so happens the Lord indicated that he fulfilled his previous desires, but he also got the fulfillment of his spiritual desires, and therefore he achieved the association of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planet. It just so happens the Vaikuntha planet was in the universe, a special planet just for him. So the point is that when a devotee is completely freed from all desires and has nothing but aspiration for the fulfillment of only spiritual desires for the pleasure of the Lord, and when those desires are completely fulfilled, then what else is there to aspire for? There's nothing else for that devotee to aspire for. His every desire he had for service to the Lord and for pleasing the Lord and the ecstasy that came with it were all fulfilled. That's also an understanding we have of the equality in Vaikuntha. That there's nobody there who's in any way been slighted in the fulfillment of his desires, because the Lord, the all-omniscient Lord, knowing everyone's desires since time immemorial, as Supersoul, and in Vaikuntha, also being all-omniscient, because that's his natural nature in Vaikuntha, he knows how to fulfill everyone's desires, and he accepts a form just suitable for the fulfillment of their desires. And it's so perfect, it's not a temporary form. It's not a form that he's just accepted just to satisfy the desire of this devotee, just for the time being. It's a permanent, eternal form. And this point is going to be brought out in the next verse. That each form the devotee worships prior to his achievement or attainment to Vaikuntha is an eternal form. Whether it's the worship of a deity, and there's some very, very nice points I want to bring out about the worship of the deity, and the worship of the deity has to be in the mentality of the worshiper. The worshiper has to understand that the form he's worshiping is eternal. If he thinks it's anything less than an eternal form, he will not attain the fruit of his worship. Very, very important point. This point is brought out by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jiva Dhamma, and it's an answer to a question that was specifically asked in relationship to temporary worship and eternal worship. I won't be able to cover it today, because it's more connected to the next verse, I'll cover it in the next class. But it's a very, very wonderful reference that helps us to understand the same point, which we will gradually be introduced to, that every form of the Lord is Sat Chit Ananda. It's not a form just adopted to satisfy the mood of somebody. That form has already has an eternal abode, has eternal pastimes, and in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami gives an amazing. I'll preface it, but I won't go into all the details. But he gives an amazing explanation of how the form the Lord accepts for a particular pastime. Someone may think a pastime has a beginning and has an end. So if it has a beginning and it has an end, it's a temporary form. How can it be an eternal form? But he explains that every pastime the Lord manifests to fulfill not only his own desires, but especially to fulfill the desires of those who want to see him in that form. Every pastime is manifest in a universe, and it may appear, stay for some time, and disappear, but as Rupa Goswami goes on to explain, it's still eternal. Why is it still eternal? Because the same pastime is eternally manifest in some universe. Again, and again, and again, and again, for eternity. Unlimited universes. There's no question of that pastime not manifesting someplace in some universe. And at the same time, Rupa Goswami explains, the Lord has that form in the spiritual world. At the same time, the associates who come with him have also the form in the spiritual world, and they have a form they've accepted to accompany the Lord in whatever universe he's in. And at the same time, the abode where the Lord displays those pastimes, the abode also manifests in each universe. So because these three things are required, the Lord, his associates, and his abode, therefore, the Lord, his associates, and his abode are eternally manifest, eternally, and throughout the unlimited universes, in all of those forms that he accepts, which are unlimited forms. There's no limit to his forms. They're unlimited. And these points will be brought out in the next verse. And there'll also be nice references brought out in the next verse about the form of the deities. And the reason why this will be brought out, because these were formally discussed earlier in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. When the Mathura Brahman, for instance, both Mathura Brahman and Gopal Kumara, before they moved on, they were on this earthly planet, they went to temples and celebrations where Vaishnavas were worshipping a deity form of the Lord. And just like the Mathura Brahman, after he received the mantra, the Gopal mantra, from the goddess Kamakya, then he chanted the mantra, and then he began wandering, and he went to some place, or at this particular place, he saw a group of Vaishnavas, and the Vaishnavas were engaged in worship, and they were chanting and dancing, singing very ecstatically. And the Mathura Brahman, also being very ignorant of these things, he kind of suggested to these Vaishnavas he saw who were worshipping a form of Madhava and with kirtan. He said to them, "Why all this noise? What are you doing?" And he couldn't understand what was taking place. And then the Vaishnavas who were present there, engaged in that worship, began to describe to him. And there were different Vaishnavas with different mentalities also. Some of them became angry. Some of them had more elevated consciousness and a greater understanding and had more compassion. And those who had greater understanding and more compassion of the form of the Lord, and they very compassionately spoke to the Mathura Brahmin and explained to him, "Be very careful. We're worshipping this form of the Lord, and this form of the Lord is a Sat, Chit, and Ananda form. It's an eternal form, and we're glorifying him with suitable prayers and names according to the form which is manifest before us." And the Mathura Brahmin will encounter a form of the Lord in the earthly planet, and it's the same form of the Lord which is also manifest in the spiritual world. And this verse is, the next verse is going to bring out this point, that these are eternal forms of the Lord who manifest not only in Vaikuntha in the spiritual world, who manifest even in the heavenly planets, who manifest on the earthly planets in their incarnations, and who manifest in the earthly planets in their deity forms. And in this way, the unlimited Lord accepts so many forms, which are all complete. Sat, which means eternal. Chit, full of knowledge. And Ananda, full of bliss. So one has to understand from this explanation about the unlimited nature of these forms of the Lord, who manifest just to satisfy the different moods of his devotees, and of course for his own pleasure as well, because the Lord is very much inclined to please his devotees who worship him with love. But we know also, because we've been getting indications all along, because of Gopakumara's unique example, we know from these indications that there's something that gives the Lord even more pleasure. That's the essence of what we are learning in this journey of Gopakumara. What gives the Lord more pleasure? Indications are coming gradually, more, until we come to most. And our journey to most is a journey that is relishable, because we are very fortunate, because Gopakumara has already indicated in his teachings to the Mathura Brahmin that there's something more. And we've already heard, especially from Sanatana Goswami in the previous volume of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that there's some place most. And Srila Rupa Goswami and other of our great acharyas have already, by good fortune, we have been able to hear about this most. And therefore, we're being gradually brought on this journey with Gopakumara from more to most. And so, yes, the Lord is pleased this way, but he's especially pleased with those who worship him in a mood similar to Gopakumara, and therefore he will help him to attain that goal. That's it for today's verse. Verse on Wednesday, we'll get into the discussion of these different forms which are not only manifest in Vaikuntha, but which are manifest in the heavenly planets that Gopakumara already saw, manifest in the earthly planet, which Gopakumara already saw, and we'll hear a little bit about them, and how, and actually also about how many times they appear. Some of them appear not only in every universe, unlimited times, but some of them appear even in one universe many times. And that's going to be brought out in the next verse also, like the example of Varaha, how he has five different appearances at different times. Matsya, also different appearances, different times. Kurma, also different appearances at different times in the same universe. So, stay tuned. We'll end here. As I said, it will be a short class. And thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'm going to leave. I don't need to stay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.